At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is VSiN Tonight with veteran handicappers Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
NFL draft kicks off Thursday night in Detroit. We're going to have a special show here at the VSiN studio at the Circus Sportsbook in Vegas. Michael Lombardi, Femi Abebefe, Tim Murray, JVT, the Golics. I'll be part of it tomorrow night. Wes Reynolds and I will be here. Recap all the draft betting action on Thursday night. Wes, I put up my mock draft on vsin.com a week ago, and I go through a mock draft every year because I feel like it gives you a roadmap and a playbook for betting the draft and all the props you might want to play as well. Let's go ahead and look at the top 10 I put up a week ago. I would make one slight change to this if I put up a mock draft 2.0. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But the top two picks, pretty much standard, I think, what you're going to see in every mock draft at this point. Caleb Williams, quarterback from USC to the Bears at one. Jaden Daniels, quarterback from LSU to the Washington Commanders at number two. I do want to pause here, Wes, and mention that we had some dramatic odds movement in this prop a week ago, talking about the Jaden Daniels, Drake May prop at number two. Now, this is right before I left on vacation. I put out one of my best bets was on Jaden Daniels, right around minus $3 to go number two. Jaden Daniels, minus $3 to go before Drake May. The next day, there was an avalanche of action that came in on Drake May for whatever reason. I thought somebody was trying to manipulate the betting market on this prop. Mm-hmm. But it went all the way from Daniels minus 400 to basically pick him. Minus 110 both ways. And now all the way back up today, closed where Jaden Daniels was about a $4 favorite over Drake May in their head-to-head matchup and who's going to go first. I've got May going number three to the Patriots, the quarterback from North Carolina. Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver from Ohio State, going to the Cardinals at number four. Let's pause there, Wes. What's your take on the top four plays or top four picks here? And do you think a trade might be in play for the Patriots at number three?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think if there's no movement, that looks like the proper top four. But the Patriots, look, they've got to make a determination. You know, obviously they need a quarterback for the future, but are you going to get it this year? Are you going to maybe get it next year? Because this team's not a quarterback away from even sniffing playoff contention. So do they decide, you know what? We need to build a roster and just start to do that from there and see if we can, you know, get as much talent on this roster as we can for our new head coach, Gerard Mayo, and maybe punt on the quarterback or perhaps trade down, maybe get one in the second round or see if, you know, depending on where you trade down, if you get maybe McCarthy or how far they trade down. But I'm not convinced that they're staying at number three. I think that they would like to trade out. I really do, but I don't know if they're getting the package that they want. They're just not going to take any trade here. So you got to have something substantial. You know, you're going to have to, you know, come off some second and third rounders. You know, it's not going to get it done like, okay, we'll trade our one and then we'll give you a four and a future third or something like that. No, they're going to have to get, you know, some good second day picks at least out of this if they're going to trade down from that spot.
So if the Patriots did draft Drake May, they could, you know, go with May and Mayo.
Yes.
Right?
Mayonnaise, as Lou Gossett Jr. said to Richard Gere, an officer and a gentleman.
Someone asked...
you remember that.
Yeah, I do. Someone asked Robert Kraft at the NFL Scouting Combine, what do you want to come away with in this NFL draft? And he said, I want a top-flight elite quarterback or whatever. I'm not sure that Robert Kraft is going to get his happy ending here because... it might be later rounds where Kraft and the Patriots are going to have to get their quarterback. I think it makes a lot more sense probably trade down and get your quarterback later.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, from what I've read, I don't know if the Patriots are exactly in love with Drake May. Could they trade down a couple spots or a few spots and still get J.J. McCarthy? I don't know. You got the Michigan connection with Tom Brady. I think a lot of people would like to draw that parallel. Anyway, what could mess up these mock drafts for a lot of people, but hey, mock drafts are meant to be messed up to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the Patriots trade out of that three spot and then you have chaos and who knows how the dominoes are going to fall. But Wes, how confident are you that Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be the Cardinals pick at number four?
It seems like everybody has had him pegged there, certainly.
Cardinals went offensive line last year, yes, in the top 10. They've got to get some playmakers if they're gonna, if they expect Kyler Murray to be successful at quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. So that seems like the logical pick. Now, if Arizona gets a good offer and somebody wants to trade up for a quarterback and they trade down, then that puts into play for the Chargers, who I think really like Joe Alt. But if Marvin Harrison Jr. is there at number five for the Chargers, I just don't know if they're going to pass him up.
Well, here's what I wrote about in my mock draft last week. How has Jim Harbaugh built teams at every stop he's been at, including Michigan? Dominant offensive line,
mm-hmm,
right? They want to run the ball. They've already stated their mission this year is to be a physical running offense, and that's going to help Justin Herbert. I think Harbaugh's number one priority in this draft is to build this offensive line. May not be Joe Alt. It might be J.C. Latham, mm-hmm, tackle from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read a lot of buzz the last couple of days that maybe Harbaugh and the Chargers, they prefer Latham. But either way, I think it's going to be really difficult for the Chargers to pass on one of those elite offensive tackles, either Alt or Latham, and take a wide receiver. Hey, look, you can get great wide receivers in the second or third. there's been plenty of Pro Bowl wide receivers that you can find in the second, third rounds. You don't have to take one in the top 10. In fact, I'm totally against taking wide receivers in the top 10 unless it's an incredible type of talent that you feel like, well, I just can't pass on this guy.
Right.
I'm not sure Marvin Harrison.
I was going to ask you, do you think Marvin Harrison qualifies?
If his name were not Marvin Harrison Jr., I'm not sure he'd be hyped to the level he is.
Right.
He doesn't have the top end, high-end speed that you typically see in like a number one or let's say a Pro Bowl or an all-pro wideout. But because he's Marvin Harrison Jr., I think it's going to be tough for a lot of people to pass on him. And, you know, he did put up the numbers at Ohio State. But I'm going to go with Joe Alt, offensive tackle to Notre Dame to the Chargers of five. I really think Jim Harbaugh is going to build with the offensive line. Now, here's where I would flip the receivers. I think Malik Nabers from LSU is going to go before Rome Odunze, the wide receiver from Washington. The more I read, there are a lot of NFL scouts and personnel guys who actually like Nabers better than Marvin Harrison.
They think he's a Tyreek Hill type.
Uh-huh.
I think with Nabers, and look, I think he does have more top end speed than Marvin Harrison Jr. Certainly.
And that's interesting. So if I could flip something in a mock, I would have Nabers going before Odunze. How about Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama to the Falcons at eight? Byron Murphy, 300-pound defensive tackle. Run stopper from Texas to the Bears at number nine. Bears might go wide receiver if one of those elite guys slip. The Bears also could go offensive line there. But right now, I think Byron Murphy, if he's on the board, it'd be tough for the Bears to pass on. Matt Eberflus wants to build the middle of that defense. And, man, I'm not sure I'd pass on Byron Murphy if he were there. How about number 10? Wes, at this spot, a lot of mock drafters like Brock Bowers going to
the
Jets.
I was just about to say that because he seems to be – because I've heard like several teams that really like Brock Bowers. And it's like, you're going to have to trade up because one of them being Indianapolis, you know, at number 15. But I don't think he's going to be there at number 15. Somebody's going to grab him.
Interesting. We get to that in a second. I've got Talese Fuaga from Oregon State, offensive tackle going to the Jets. He could play guard or tackle. The Jets at 10. I think the Jets have got – if you didn't learn your lesson last year with your quarterbacks getting beat up, including Aaron Rodgers in the first game of the season, if you didn't learn that you got to build that offensive line, you're never going to learn. The Jets, more than anything, need offensive line help, and I think that's where they should go at number 10. I've got a couple prop bets on the Bears and the Jets I'll talk about later in the show. I've got Brock Bowers going to the Broncos at number 12. That's a toy for Sean Payton to play with in that offense. I don't think he's going to get the quarterback he wants there. I've got J.J. McCarthy going to the Vikings at number 11. Now, the Vikings are one of those teams that might trade up. If there's a trade, Wes, a big trade tomorrow, I think it could be the Vikings going to number 3 and getting Drake May.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a quarterback that Minnesota wants. Kevin O'Connell seems to want Drake May. So
there's a lot of differing opinions, too, on Drake May because it seems like he can make all the throws. But, like, on tape, like, and I've seen, like, the little bits of tape that they've shown, maybe not the best footwork. You know, sometimes kind of throws a little bit off balance, and, you know, you can't always get away with that.
North Carolina lost 4 of its last 6 games last season. Drake May was, I want to say, borderline bad in some of those games. And, you know, his footwork was poor. He throws off balance a lot of times. He needs a lot of work. He needs a lot of coaching and a lot of work. I'd be hesitant to trade up for him at number 3. And so I said Jaden Daniels is my top-rated quarterback ahead of Caleb Williams, who's that seems a little bit flaky in terms of his personality. Prop plays I put up today on VSIM Pro, in addition to what I put up last week. I put up about 10 bets last week. This morning I put up J.J. McCarthy draft position over 5.5. If you can still play that where you are, I would play it. I don't think McCarthy's going in the top 5 picks, Wes. I played McCarthy over 5.5 at +125. You can get +145 today at Circa right before it closed. Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, draft position over 19.5. I do think he's going to slip into the 20s. And Terrion Arnold, draft position under 15.5. The Raiders take a corner at number 13. It's going to be Terrion Arnold. Wes, I will mention this from Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network. His mock draft, his final version, came out tonight. Jeremiah, highly respected in his work in the draft. He's got J.J. McCarthy going to the Vikings at 11. Michael Penix to the Raiders at 13. And how about this? Brock Bowers to the Colts at number 15. You'd like that, wouldn't you?
I would absolutely like that. And I think Anthony Richardson would like that as well.
All right, we'll talk more NFL draft. Aaron Moore is going to join us later in the show and Adam Hill in the final hour. Back to the NBA, NHL, and baseball after this quick break on VSiN tonight.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, back here, VSiN Tonight, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Wes, let's take a look at the NBA playoffs the next 2 days. And we're going to start with the Nuggets and the Lakers in L.A. on Thursday night. At DraftKings right now, the Nuggets are one-point favorites. You're going to find Pick'em at most books. And you can also find the Lakers as favorites out there, one-point favorite at one spot. Total of 215. Lakers blew a 20-point lead in Game 2. They probably feel like they should be tied in this series. Instead, they're in a 2-0 hole. How confident are you in the Lakers bouncing back to get on the board against the Nuggets for the first time after getting swept last year?
Not overly confident, to be honest, to be quite honest with you, but I do think that this, you know, it feels like the last stand for these guys here, for the Lakers, who I thought probably deserved to be 1-1, and I actually thought played two pretty solid games in Denver, even though they didn't cover that first game. It's just, the Joker makes the plays, even though it was Jamal Murray that won him the game. It was the Joker that kept him in the game and really kind of led the rally here. Lakers, shooting okay from the three. AD has actually had two games statistically, but he didn't show up in the final few minutes. That was very disappointing. You know, and AD, if he wants to be considered, because LeBron and everybody always says, you know, how he's a top five player in this league and all that stuff. But if you're going to be, you got to come up in the final few minutes in these games, and you can't just, you know, vanish and, you know, have LeBron to try to carry the day for you.
Nuggets won game 2, 101-99. Wes, the Joker, 27 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists. And, AD's numbers look good, 32-11, but he gets outplayed by Jokic again.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I lean Lakers, like I said earlier, and I'm going to hate myself if I bet the Lakers and they lose the game, but if there's a spot where you're going to play the Lakers, after they got swept last year by this team, and they're down 2-0, and they just blew a 20-point lead in game 2, I think this is a spot where you have to play them.
Yeah.
This is the only spot where I feel like I can play the Lakers.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've gotten off to decent starts, too. I played them what I played was first quarter in game number 1.
Say, would you look to play them first quarter, first half here in game 3?
Yeah, because if you look, they were up in the first half in game number 1, and they were up both first quarter and first half in game number 2. Because historically, it's been Denver starts out really well, then the Lakers rally, and then the Denver closes them out. Because this is now a 10-game winning streak for the Nuggets, including these first two games. The opener of the season, you know, on Ring and Banner night, the night they played in Crypto with the Kobe statue and all that stuff. And the Lakers just have not been able to get over the hump. So right now I'm actually going to look at the first quarter lines, and it's pretty much one everywhere, and even one with some juice right behind us at Circa and also at Superbook. So that's kind of telling you, I think, what some people are thinking out there. I lean a little bit Lakers first quarter.
Well, and that's those books you just mentioned have Pick'em for the game, but they got Lakers one-point favorites in the first quarter.
Yeah, and look, those books are taking sharper action too. Yeah. So I don't want to jump to conclusions, but you can kind of sometimes read between the lines when you're looking at the screen here. So, because I don't know. I think there's going to be, you know, I don't know if there's going to be as many home or Laker bettors. We know Vegas is a Laker town, especially, but I don't know if that, because people are like, oh, man, we did everything we could and we lost. So you might have some of those casual bettors that are Laker fans out here that don't have faith in their team, and maybe that's the time to jump in.
I feel like game 3, if you're not, if you're going to jump in, I think game 3 is when you have to do it with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time I feel like I can do it in this series. So I'm probably going to do it. How about we talk Knicks and Sixers? And you want to talk about a team that blew a game. How about the Sixers in the final minute of game 2? Now they go down, they go home down 2-0 in the series, and they are 4.5-point favorites over the Knicks. This also a Thursday night game, total 201.5. And did you hear the announcers?
I did.
The Sixers have done their job here, and they tied up the series. This was like 40 seconds ago, and then they blew the game and lost. How can you say that in a two-possession NBA game in the final minute and act like it's already over?
Yeah, I think it was Kate Scott and Ala Abdelnaby are the 76ers announcers. And that was the announcer jinx right there. You know, we talked about wherever you have the Chiron, like the Chiron jinx, where this guy is 56 for 56 on extra points, and he misses it. And it just happens that way. But, yeah, to me, if you look at the series, Matt, the Sixers have won the first quarters in both the games in the Garden, 34-25 and then 25-18. And then they got outscored 33-12 and 31-28 in the second quarter. So, you know, this might be one where and if you're worried about the spread, you know, if you know, to try to be safer, maybe you think it's the money line. First quarter, by the way, for tomorrow with the Sixers, there's even a couple 2.5s with juice to the underdog side, but mostly 2 in the market. And I think if you want to do money line for that, oh my, the first quarter money line, by the way, at BetMGM, Matt.
I like Dick Enberg.
It is -185 for the first quarter money line.
Oh my.
At BetMGM, I think -174 at a very sharp faraway store.
You know, this is a spot too where the Sixers have to circle the wagons. If they lose this game, there's no way I'd play them.
Yeah,
they're done.
And we know that their bench is has just not been good enough. Save for Nick Batum, who really saved their bacon against Miami in that play-in game, but. Yeah, they just have not gotten the consistency. Buddy Hield has not gotten loose from the three.
You kind of feel like Embiid is on 1.5 legs.
Yes. Right?
He's limping around out there. Tyrese Maxey, how'd you feel about him winning the most improved player in the NBA?
I thought that was who was going to get it, but I thought that there are a couple other guys that certainly deserve consideration. Coby White from the Chicago Bulls, Jalen Williams from Oklahoma City. So I wasn't necessarily surprised that Maxey got it. He's really the favorite all year, but there were a couple very worthy candidates.
Because of Embiid and you know, the chance that he might limp off the floor at any point, I'm not going to play the Sixers here.
Yeah.
I think of the two teams in a 2-0 hole, the Lakers would be the one I would lean to as the better bet.
Under's really taken a little bit of a hit here, too. I think it opened 205, now seeing as low as 201.5.
Had a lot of unders in the playoffs so far. One more game on Thursday, Cleveland-Orlando, Magic -1.5. Most spots, 2, total of 198.5. How about you? Any
this is a, this is a series I have not gotten right. I thought Orlando in game 2 was going to be a better play, and they did play better, but the problem with Orlando, Matt, is that they can't shoot the three. They're the worst three-point shooting team in the league, and it's like, how are these guys going to score? Both these defenses are really good, and Orlando's has been pretty good. But, you know, when you're scoring in the high 80s, low 90s, you're not going to win very many games, and I just wonder how the hell Orlando is going to score. Now, they are currently priced as a two-point favorite, and their first quarter is -1.5. And only 2 for the game, and I believe the first half price is -2, -$1.15. So once again, you pay the tax with these things. I thought Orlando, look, Cleveland tanked so that they could get this matchup. Remember, they took their guys out in that final game against Charlotte's backups, and lost the game on purpose so they're getting this 4-5. And you know, I thought Orlando, that might have motivated them a little bit, and they got thoroughly outplayed. They just cannot shoot the ball from the three. So that's why you see this total so low at 198.5 is even the lowest I see in the market right now.
All right, big upset tonight in the NBA. Lose the zero, get with the hero. Who sang that, Wes?
I didn't know that was a song lyric. I know holding out for...
Lose the zero, get with the hero. That was Vanilla Ice.
Oh. I know. Holding Out for a Hero by Bonnie Tyler. That, we need a hero. Psh, we're holding out for a hero to the end of the night.
Lose the zero, get with Tyler Hero. 6 three-pointers tonight. The Heat made 23 threes, and they shoot down the Celtics 111-101. And here's from Evan Abrams. On Twitter, at Evan H. Abrams, over the last 3 years in the playoffs, the Celtics are now 10-11 straight up as favorites of 5 or more points. The rest of the NBA, 62-20, 76% in that spot. Boston has 36% of those total playoff losses. And again, the Celtics fail tonight as double-digit favorites, 14.5-point favorites. about minus 1,400 on the money line. They go down in a 10-point home loss to the Miami Heat, who were without Jimmy Butler. Talk about an inexcusable loss for the Celtics.
Yeah, no question about it. And when you get a combined 61 from Brown and Tatum, you're thinking, hey, this is a lock, man. We're going to easily dispatch of these guys. And Derek White, the only other one in double figures, another really underrated player in the NBA. He did have 13, but you didn't get much from Porzingis. You didn't get much off the bench. And, another disappointing performance as a favorite for the Celtics. And, look, Eric Spoelstra, man, that's just what he does, is get a lot out of a little, and he did it again tonight.
David Dineen, the winner of the Circuit College Hoops Challenge, had a good line about Eric Spoelstra. We'll get to that in the final hour tonight. We've got an upset in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we got Aaron Moore on deck to talk NFL draft.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, check out VSiN.com. We got best bets, handicapping articles, all sorts of betting tools, betting splits, everything you need up there at VSiN.com. We got NFL draft coverage as well as NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs up there right now, VSiN.com. We got a final in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And Wes Reynolds, we got an upset out of Dallas. How do you bet against the Vegas Golden Knights? I mean, the defending Stanley Cup champs up 2-0 on the number one seed in the West, and they get it done tonight in Dallas.
Yeah, we should ask that question before tonight. I did think the Stars were going to bounce back. They do not. And now the Knights are coming back here to T-Mobile up 2-0. In this series, a game was a little bit more even tonight. The first game was absolutely, I think Dallas outplayed them, but still get the loss on the board. So now 2-0. We'll update a series price here later in the program.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line and dial up Aaron Moore, VSiN contributor, sports media professor at Rider University. And Aaron Moore, on the eve of the NFL draft, how do you feel about your portfolio of betting action? And I know you have a lot of action on this draft.
I feel my portfolio is very heavy, and I hope it's heavy with winners. And it's just a great time to be betting right now with all the different NFL props we have. And I know you talked about earlier in Nevada, they have to close it down. But hell, in New Jersey, it's 12:30 at night, and I'll be making as many bets as I can until basically tomorrow night.
Follow him on Twitter at Pub Relation Prof. Aaron, I mentioned earlier in the show, I've got 20 plus bets, and most of those are on draft position props, you know, a wide receiver to go over 15.5 or something like that, for those who don't know how this draft prop stuff works. But most of my bets are on draft positions. Wes said he's gotten no bets in this draft, which is surprising to me, but if you don't get ahead of the market, if you're not on top of it, it might be an event. You know, this might be a betting event you do want to avoid because you really have to stay on top of the market. I know, Aaron, that you have charted the draft position numbers at various sports books, and you have been charting these almost on a daily basis for a month. And I think a majority of your plays are on player draft positions too. Is that right?
Yeah, and the way I look at it is, Matt, that when do you possibly have an edge against the books? Well, you might have an edge against the books if you're proactive with information and you're shopping around. So about a month ago, I started with the major books in the draft positions, and you could see the most variance in them. There's going to be different slots that the books have for different players. So I've been charting it to see where the steam is. Can I get ahead of other books and make these bets? Because the number in terms of the placement is far more important to me than the juice. So I'm tracking it. I'm looking to see who's a little bit slow to react. And I think one of the main aspects of handicapping the draft this way is look at what Circa is doing. It is a very sharp book. They're not going to be altered too much by news that might be more socially media driven and just basically to get attention. If Circa is sticking to a number or if Circa moves, I think that's because of sharp information and sharp money. So you really have to track this to see who's fast, who's slow, and basically how does it compare to Circa.
Aaron Moore with us. Aaron, let's talk about Jaden Daniels being the number two pick. Now, I played Daniels at about -$3 over Drake May in a head-to-head matchup. How did you play Daniels? Did you play him head-to-head, or did you play him specifically to be the number two pick?
I played him the number two pick about a month ago or so, got it at -175, and then similar number. It was -330. I still took it. And the idea being the narrative was set. Look at Washington with that team, that franchise, a new owner. They have the opportunity. Sure, they probably want to get Caleb Williams, but they're not going to get him. They have the opportunity to get a dynamic Heisman Trophy winner. And it just seemed that that narrative had set, and I kept betting it and betting it. Really didn't mind what the number was. And then last week when it flipped in terms of, oh, my gosh, now it might be Drake May, and at -330 went down to somewhere around even money, I still stuck with it because it's Daniels. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. The last month or so, these Washington fans have been told they're in a position to draft a Heisman Trophy winner. I don't think the team, even if they did think May was a better quarterback, I don't think the team would have shifted all of a sudden, because that would have been a lot of pressure on May, and it might have made the franchise look bad if they didn't go with Daniel. So even though there was that volatility over this past weekend, I still stuck with it, and I came back and I got some more Daniels at -130. So I'm telling you, God, I hope he's the second pick in the draft.
You and me both.
Aaron, let's stick with the quarterbacks here. And I know that you have the under for the first round. It looks like the momentum is going to the over. But, you know, one way to kind of get out of that is you did bet Michael Penix to go ahead of Bo Nix. I think -160, -175. Where do you think Michael Penix is going to end up going tomorrow night?
It's interesting, Wes. I took the under because it was plus money, and I didn't think Penix or Nix were first-round picks. Age, injury, and this, there's just going to be more interest in quarterbacks. But I thought it was kind of artificial, the interest in them. And I don't feel good about this bet. I think it's probably going to be a loser. Penix might get into the first round. Nix might. It might be six quarterbacks. I don't know where Penix goes. I know there's this talk of the Raiders, but I think he could go anywhere, and there's more focus on him because he's a quarterback. If this was a wide receiver, a linebacker, there wouldn't be this much varying degrees of ideas of where he goes. But he's a quarterback. It's going to generate more interest. He's probably going to be a first-round pick. I just don't see the Raiders taking him. That is an opportunity to maybe hit a home run, but to also strike out on pitch number one with Penix. Injury and age. I think there's a lot of volatility with taking Penix.
Aaron Moore, VSiN contributor, sports media professor with us. Aaron, you and I have a common play here. Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback from Toledo, over 13.5. On that draft prop, go ahead and run through some of your draft position bets, some of the bets you like the best, maybe some stuff that's still out there for those who want to bet the draft tonight, and kind of wrap up with the most important plays you have going on Thursday.
The Mitchell one's interesting because you can get him over 13.5. It's still -200. I think it's a playable number. He was one of those cornerbacks that was originally one of the top guys you saw in mock drafts, and then the interest in him seemed to dissipate a little. I still think you can get him over 13.5 at -200. Besides Daniel's pick, the other one I have is Brian Thomas over. I got him over 16.5. That number is long gone, and you can still get 19.5 over. I would take that. I think he was another guy. Early on, there was a lot of interest in him, but now we see the amount of wide receivers there are in this draft and the good wide receivers you can get in the second round. I don't think there's going to be this demand for Thomas in those middle team picks, and if he is in the first round, it's going to be in the 20s. So I still like that one. The other one, too, that you can get is Jared Verse over 15.5. I like that one. That's heavily juiced at -230. Another one that I found, but when you track this, a month and a half ago, there was talk Jared Verse might even be a top 10 pick. I don't think you see that as much anymore. He's pretty steady at 15.5 with the juice to the over. So I like that one. And it's going to be interesting to see now what happens with J.C. Latham. His number, his position number is now 12.5 this morning. It was 14.5. And then the Daniel Jeremiah had his mock draft, had the Chargers taking him at 5. That's certainly going to cause these boards to change. Now, you're not going to get to 14.5 anymore. And the 12.5, I'm not sure. I don't think I would play Latham because you're basically looking at the change in the board because of Jeremiah's pick. So that one is out there. And a related one is 9.5 offensive linemen in the first round. You can still get that -165. That one I like because if you hear and you read all the information about the draft, is it's deep in offensive line, it's deep in wide receivers. But the depth of offensive line needs to be taken early because those players in the second and third round are going to be different than those first round players. What you hear about the wide receivers are there's not going to be much difference between the second and the first round. So I think you're going to see a run on offensive linemen. And if you can get the over 9.5 around -165 or so, I think that's a good play.
All right, hit Aaron Moore up on Twitter at Public Relation Prof. He'll tell you all his prop bets, or check him out on the VSIN Pro page. Aaron, appreciate the time. Best of luck on the draft on Thursday because I know you got a lot of action on this. How many quarterbacks do you say go in the first round?
I'm going to say 5. I just don't see Nick going in the first round.
All right, you mentioned Daniel Jeremiah. I'm going to talk about his mock draft next. Quick break here on VSIN tonight.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Humans and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the association. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSIN. New customers bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Bet $5, get $200, promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. All right, Wes, I don't pay much attention to what other writers do with their mock drafts. There are a few guys who I look at because I know they're well-connected around the league with scouts and talk to NFL personnel guys. One of those is Daniel Jeremiah at NFL Network. He's a former college scout with the Ravens, the Browns, and the Eagles. Mm-hmm. He's been at NFL Network for more than, I think, 12 years. You would like him because he was born in the state of Indiana.
He was.
Born in Fort Wayne.
He's IU a fan, too.
Is he?
Yes.
Color commentator for the Chargers games on the radio, and Jeremiah does a pretty good mock draft last year, very accurate with his mock. And that's why if you're betting the draft, and you can still bet the draft tonight at DraftKings. You know, if you're in Nevada, ironically, you cannot bet the draft at this point because the prop's been taken down 24 hours before the beginning of the event in accordance with state gaming rules. But if you're anywhere else in the country where you have a sports book, you could probably still bet the draft. He's got the common two, Caleb Williams one, Jaden Daniels two. At number three, Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network has Drake May, three to the Patriots. Marvin Harrison, four to the Cardinals. Here's where it gets interesting. He's got J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle from Alabama, to the Chargers at number five. And that's where I have Joe Alt, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame, going to the Chargers. I feel like Jim Harbaugh is going to build with his offensive line. Now, we've got a clip of Brian Baldinger from NFL Network, a former NFL player, Baldy, talking about why he thinks Joe Alt is a fit for the Chargers. And that's where I slotted Alt. I played Alt on a prop bet at plus 475 to be the number five pick in the draft because I thought, okay, if Harbaugh is going to build this thing with the Chargers, he's going to start on the offensive line. He wants to be a physical running team. Alt's the guy I had. Well, Jeremiah throws a curveball here and says J.C. Latham from Alabama, who had a draft position prop of 16.5, he's got him going number five to the Chargers. First, let's hear from Brian Baldinger about why he thinks Joe Alt is the right fit for Jim Harbaugh at number five.
I think Jim Harbaugh would covet Joe Alt. Like, he recruited him once upon a time, recruited him heavily out of Minnesota, out of the state of Minnesota, to the University of Michigan. He ended up going to Notre Dame instead. Maybe this time around, he can recruit Joe Alt by drafting him with this fifth pick. He started at left tackle for the Golden Domers for the last 3 years. He's very smart. He's very big, and he moves really well. You have Rashawn Slater on one side. You put Joe Alt on the other side. Zion Johnson, Bradley Bozeman. You put the group together up front, and all of a sudden, Justin Herbert has time to do whatever he wants to do back there, and they'll run the ball probably much better than what we have seen in recent years. So I think it starts with Joe Alt up front. Won't surprise me right there to finish and fix and make it a very strong asset to this team with the offensive line.
All right, that's Brian Baldinger of NFL Network. He's one of the most respected guys on there. Really value his opinion, too. And I hope he's right with Joe Alt going to the Chargers at number five. I've got him at plus 475.
It would seem logical because I thought, okay, if you put Alt on the left side, you can kick Rashawn Slater out to the right side, where I think he probably would be a little bit better.
Well, then you got two stud tackles.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, look, it totally makes sense. Obviously, the board can change. You know, that's what makes the NFL draft fun to follow and to watch is that, what if Arizona all of a sudden, where everybody, we've all had Marvin Harrison pinpointed number four, what if they get an offer and they go ahead and trade down and maybe, okay, we don't get Harrison, but maybe we're there for Dunze or we're there for Neighbors or somebody like that. And then all of a sudden, dude, the Chargers say, okay, are we in on Marvin Harrison? Does the Michigan man draft the Ohio State man there at number five? Because look, Chargers need a receiver too. I think they really need both positions. You know, obviously losing Keenan Allen to Chicago, so they need to rebuild. And that speedster out of TCU that they drafted in the first round, Quentin Johnston, very shaky rookie season.
That was kind of a shaky pick last year.
Yes.
Anyway, and that's where I think your scouts have to go to work and do the job for you in the draft. You can find the Packers got Davante Adams in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Puka Nacua of the Rams, late round pick last
year.
You can find those receivers later in the draft. You don't have to take them in the top 10.
That's why a lot of these teams may not want to include second and third round picks, eight and even fours, you know, the first round of day three, because those picks are like gold and they like to accumulate those over time. So, yeah, it's going to have to take a lot, I think, to move up. And you might have to include those, but I don't know if a lot of teams want to move up for quarterbacks.
It's going to take a lot for the Raiders to move up from number 13 if they want to get Jaden Daniels at number two. We'll talk to Adam Hill at the Las Vegas Review-Journal about that in the final hour tonight. But I put up three more draft prop plays last night on the VSIN Pro page. J.J. McCarthy, Michigan quarterback, draft position over 5.5. That means he does not go in the top five. He goes six or later at plus 125. Brian Thomas, LSU wide receiver, draft position over 19.5, at minus 175. I've got him slipping into the 20s. Tyrion Arnold, draft position under 15.5 at about even money. Arnold, the cornerback from Alabama. I think if the Raiders go corner at 13, they're going to take Arnold. There's a chance the Colts could take him at number 15 as well. Also, Tim Murray put up a play here on J.C. Latham, draft position under 14.5 at minus 165. I bet that as well. I did not put that up on the VSIM Pro page. But that Latham draft position number has been dropping. It was 16.5, dropping to 12.5 as there's more speculation that he could go in the top 10, especially if Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers are targeting Latham and not Joe Alt. Anyway, more with Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network and his mock draft. He's got Joe Alt slipping to 7. He's got the Bears taking Fashanu, the offensive tackle from Penn State, at number 9. I actually bet the Bears to take an offensive tackle with their second pick at plus 900, 9-1 odds. So
yes.
I'd love to see the Bears go offensive line with that number 9 pick. The Jets, at number 10, Rome Odunze, wide receiver from Washington. How about the Vikings at number 11, J.J. McCarthy, quarterback from Michigan. That's also where I slotted McCarthy in my mock draft. And I'd love to see it work out that way after betting him over 5.5 at plus money. Wes, we've got Michael Penix to the Raiders at number 13 in Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft. Do you think that would be a smart move for the Raiders, or should they try to trade down if that's the guy they want? Because if you're an advantage gambler, you're not really getting full value by taking Penix in that number 13.
Well, and I'm looking and seeing, okay, are there anybody really behind them that are looking to trade up necessarily for a quarterback? You know, we know Indianapolis is not going to. Is New Orleans? Look, New Orleans probably does need a young quarterback for the future, but I don't think that that's their priority necessarily, at least this early. I don't think Seattle
probably going offensive line.
Yeah, I don't think Seattle is going to do that. I don't think Jacksonville is going to do it. Clearly Cincinnati's not, and clearly the Commanders are not, because they will have already taken one. And I don't think Pittsburgh is either. So
it doesn't seem like a smart move for the Raiders to take Penix at 13.
Yeah, it seems like maybe you could trade down perhaps to get him as long as you're ahead of Denver. If Denver doesn't elect to take a quarterback with their first pick, they're at 12 because they're also at 22.
And Wes, a lot of signs point to the Broncos liking Bo Nix more than Michael Penix, and the
right.
Raiders preferring Penix.
Right.
So what's interesting here is this Jeremiah mock draft. As I go down a little bit, he has got Bo Nix going to the Broncos at number 22. That's a projected trade with the Eagles, who have the 22nd pick right now. So he's got Nix to the Broncos, where it's, I also think it's going to happen, but I thought it would happen maybe early second round, not late first.
Right.
I do think it's very strong likelihood you're going to get 5 quarterbacks in the first round. I'm not sold that Nix is going to be number 6 in the first round.
I'm not really either. I think he's an early day 2 pick. That's what I would anticipate, at least from that standpoint. But yeah, Denver at 12. If they elect to stay there, I don't think they're drafting Bo Nix there at 12. I think Denver could be a trade down candidate.
Packers taking Cooper DeJean, the cornerback, defensive back from Iowa, at number 25. The Buccaneers taking Jared Verse, edge rusher from Florida State, at 26. I played Verse over his draft position of 15.5.
DJ doesn't seem very high on the edge guys draft.
How about that? He's got Leitu from UCLA going 27th to the Cardinals. I've seen Leitu going as high as 10th in some of my drafts, 10th or 11th. Ryan Thomas, wide receiver from LSU, slipping all the way to 28th of the Bills. And those are pretty much the Texas wide receivers.
I think the receivers are going late in the first round, too. I think there's a late run on receivers at the end of day one.
Jeremiah's got receivers from Texas going 31 and 32 to wrap up the first round. That's Worthy and Mitchell. Quick break here on VSiN tonight.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.